Grace to you and peace in the name of our coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to sing. And if my voice isn't worn out from all the talking that I have to do, I break into song quite often. In fact, that's what my wife, Pachalyn, says that she notices most, not misses most, but notices most, when I'm not home and I'm gone on a trip somewhere, that the house is so quiet without me. I couldn't tell you what I always sing, because many times what I sing isn't even words to real songs. I just make them up as I go along to tunes that I know. In moments of joy and happiness, or if I need to feel some joy and happiness, I sing. Perhaps that's also true of the characters that we're going to look at today and over the next number of weeks in our Advent series, who spontaneously burst into song as their hearts were too overcome with joy to remain silent. Surrounding the events of our Savior's birth, there were four individuals who spontaneously burst into joyous song. Those individuals were Mary, the mother of Jesus, whose song we're going to look at this morning, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, the angel and the other host of angels who joined with the angel at the birth of Jesus, and finally, Simeon, the man of the temple when Jesus came to that temple for the first time. Martin Luther once wrote that next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. I think King David would agree with Martin Luther. And thus, David spent much of his time with music and in song. Many of the Psalms, I'm sure you are well aware, were written and played and sung by David. When he wanted to worship God, David often did it through song. And so today, also with us, a great portion of our worship service each week is devoted to praising God in song. And thus it should come as no surprise to us that when Mary was overcome with joy and thanks to God for the gift of the Son, the life that was growing within her, who just so happened to be the Savior of the world and the Son of God, she burst forth into song. You know, it's hard to know exactly what Mary was thinking and feeling when the angel Gabriel departed from her presence. But suffice it to say that it must have all been a bit surreal. I mean, come on. It's not every day that you are visited by an angel of the Lord, not to mention being told that the power of the Most High is going to rest upon you, and that you are going to give birth to one who is holy, one who will be called the Son of God. I'm sure Mary was hopeful that the angel wasn't just, you know, pulling her leg or something, but she must have been at least a little bit skeptical, and maybe even had a kind of wait-and-see attitude. But then she went to visit her relative Elizabeth, who was, no doubt, considerably a lot older than Mary, and who was herself pregnant with a miracle child. And no sooner had Mary arrived at Elizabeth's home and greeted her than Elizabeth felt her baby jump for joy inside of her womb. her baby in the womb knew that he was somehow in the presence of the Almighty God simply at the sound of Mary's voice. And being in the presence of God Almighty, he leaped for joy. Now remember, up to this point, Mary only had the promise of the angel to go on. And while it was indeed a great promise, it was something to hold on to, there was nothing else to validate the words that the angel had spoken to Mary about her giving birth to the Son of God. That is, until Elizabeth's baby jumped for joy in her presence. And Elizabeth knew, without even being told, that Mary was pregnant with the Lord. This chance visit and this outside validation served to vindicate Gabriel's words to Mary. And she herself was now overcome, like the baby had been, like Elizabeth had been, overcome with joy. And she burst forth into song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. For thousands of years, God's people had waited for a deliverer. They had been through generations of captivity and slavery. They were like sheep without a shepherd or a people without a place. But now, God's promise was being kept. His mercy was being extended. And his servants were being helped. And who did God choose to work his mighty grace through? Who did he choose to bear his one and only son? None other than a simple young virgin from a small nothing town. A young girl named Mary. I'm sure many years went by where the children of Israel thought that God had forgotten them. Years in captivity in Egypt and in Assyria and in Babylon. But God had not forgotten them. In each and every case, he delivered them in his time. And so too, in his fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might be God's forgiven and redeemed children. The promise of the angel to Mary and the birth of God's son Jesus to Mary were reminders to Mary and to Israel and to all of us that God is always mindful of our low estate. He's mindful of our heartaches and our heartbreaks. He's mindful of our lowliness and our loneliness. He's mindful of our fears, and he's mindful of our failures. God has not and He will not ever forget the humble state of His servants. But He will lift us and He will bless us in His time. The life and the death and the resurrection of His Son Jesus is proof positive that God keeps His promises. Now I know, like the Israelites of old, we too so often go through periods in our lives of difficulty, of uncertainty. Times when we wonder if God is ever going to help us, or if He even hears us. And we turn to the Scriptures and we hear God's promises spoken to us in His Word in the same way that Mary heard God's promise spoken to her through His angel. And we're hopeful that the promises that He made to us will come to pass. But we so often kind of take a wait-and-see attitude, don't we? Because, well, we've just waited so long for those promises to be kept. Sometimes, like Mary, we need some outside validation that God's promises will come true. Enter the cross and the empty grave. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ vindicate and validate every single promise and prediction that God ever made. They give us reason to jump for joy and to sing for joy. For the cross and the empty tomb shows that God has been mindful of our lowly, sinful estate. And not only has He been mindful of our sinful, lowly estate, but He has loved us and provided a way for us out of our sinful, lowly estate. They remind us that God is merciful and that through His mercy we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we are eternally blessed. Indeed, through Jesus, the Mighty One has done great things for us. Holy is His name. May we live in the joy of His mercy with a song in our heart throughout this Advent season, and indeed until that day when we stand before Him and see Him face to face. In the name of Jesus Christ, our coming Lord and Savior. Amen.